Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Game Time Decisions live with you on this Thursday night. So much to get to in the sports world, including the Arnold Palmer Invitational. It brings out a lot of big guns. And through the opening round of play, we've seen 14 golfers shoot under par. Incredibly, currently right now, the two worst from round number one who shot under par in strokes gained putting, Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, a.k.a., thank goodness, or this would look runaway. Although, because they both still had good rounds, one is plus 300 in Scottie and the other is plus 450, because that's what happens when those two play well to start. To talk about everything around the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Brady Cannon joins us here on Sports Grid. Brady, let's start at the top. Scottie and Rory, what did you make of their first 18?
Well, Rory caught a break with the weather. I think the guys that teed off a little bit later in the day, not a full-blown break, but the later you started, the better it got as the wind began to wane down, you know, the later it got into the afternoon. It was still blowing pretty good, 10 to 15 miles an hour, but in the morning, you know, I think it got up to like 25 miles an hour, especially as far as gusts were concerned. The guys in the morning really had it tough. And then you saw, I mean, if you look at the leaderboard, most of the guys on that leaderboard teed off a little bit later in the day. Now it's supposed to be calm for the next couple of days and then kick back up again on Sunday. So it looks like the weather is not going to be too much of a factor until we get to the final round. But Rory, like you say, his putting was bad, you know, 46th in this field for strokes gained putting. Not great off the tee either, 21st, you know, decent, but certainly not Rory-like. But his irons were firing. He was third in this field for strokes gained approach. Now, Scottie, he teed off early, and he had a bit of a struggle for a minute, then made a couple birdies in a row, got it to one under par, 26th on approach, 42nd in putting, and 19th in strokes gained off the tee. Yet again, he teed off at the tougher part of the day and still is one under par. He scares me a little bit more than Rory does right now, Kevin, but you nailed it. You're not getting a good price on either of these guys. You have to pay a premium for Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy almost no matter what.
Yeah, always does seem to be the case. Third on the odds board right now, that's Wyndham Clark, who's currently first on your leaderboard, two strokes up on anyone else, or two up on anyone else right now. How do we feel about Wyndham coming off of this opening round?
I like what he did out there today. You know, he was runner-up here to Scottie Scheffler last year. Fifth in strokes gained off the tee, 11th on approach, 18th in strokes gained putting, and number one in greens and regulation. The only real concern I have here is we've seen this once or twice already this season out of Wyndham Clark, where he's gotten out to a hot start or he's had one isolated really good round, and then he kind of falls back into that bad form that we've really seen what seems like began with last year's Masters. You know, he won the U.S. Open a couple summers ago. He was riding hot in that Florida swing. I mentioned runner-up here, did well at the Players' Championship, runner-up there, nearly took down Scottie in that one. Comes into the Masters, and it just kind of started to unravel. Now, we've seen some flashes, like I say, but I don't know if I trust him to keep this going for 4 days. I love what he's done so far, but he doesn't have my full amount of trust. you know, Shane Lowry, we haven't seen him win in so long. He was number one in this field today for strokes gained approach, but his driving accuracy and his work off the tee was not good at all. I can't trust him either. We were on him last week at the Cognizant, and, you know, he didn't do a whole lot against a much weaker field last week on a golf course he's had more success at. So it's hard to now jump up to a tougher golf course and a tougher field and put all your faith in Shane Lowry. The guys I kind of like are Keegan Bradley and Justin Thomas. They played really well today. The only thing they didn't do well was putt. Bradley was 33rd in strokes gained putting. Thomas was 41st. Otherwise, their games look really strong, and I think you're getting a very reasonable price on them to go ahead and win this thing.
Yeah, I think that those are certainly two names then that would jump off of the page there. Do you feel good about where those prices sit right now? I think that's always an interesting, Brady, because you start with that. But you, I think, you know, it's almost good to kind of redo this. We haven't done this in a while, right? So you have the outrights pre-tournament, and then I remember you used to tell me break it up into quarters, right? Quarter number one, quarter number two. Yeah. So for you, while those are noteworthy guys, but maybe you don't fully reinvest until we make it to the weekend?
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I bet a guy after one round, because like you said, you know, quarters, I don't bet a lot of just single round head-to-head matchups, because anything can happen over the course of 18 holes. And of course you had weather involved today as well. Over the course of 4 days, you expect your handicap on a certain player to manifest, to develop over time. Over the course of four rounds, you expect what you have seen this player do in the past to play out to a point again. But one round could be very, very random. So, yeah, I don't necessarily want to dive into this market after just one round. I'd rather get to the 36-hole mark here, see where the cut falls, and then reassess the stats and go from there. But that's how I would attack it as far as in-game wagering. I wouldn't get impatient at this point.
And kind of to use, actually, Wyndham Clark as an example, he was the round one leader at the Phoenix Open.
There you go.
Did not have a very good Friday. Now, he played pretty well on the weekend, relatively speaking, and he found himself inside the top 20. But, you know, that's not going to go crazy about when you were a round one leader to finish inside that top 20. So that's what we talk about, and those are kind of the things that I feel more comfortable with, right, when we talk about golf betting of, well, bounce back, but also sell high, right? So perhaps a Wyndham Clark round score over tomorrow could be something if you're getting a good number, though, right? Sometimes they don't adjust those numbers fully. Is there anyone, Brady, we have not talked about here at the Arnold Palmer Invitational that you want to make sure we kind of keep an eye on as we have so far played a round of golf?
Well, like I say, Bradley and Thomas, I think, present the best value on the board if you want to get involved at this point. Look out for Scottie Scheffler. He's still Scottie Scheffler. And like I say, he didn't play his best today, and he's still one under par. That speaks a lot to about his game. Colin Morikawa, I think, is sneaky. He took a lot of sharp action pre-tournament here. But, you know, Ludvig Åberg, I think he's number one in this field for strokes gained off the tee and just wasn't able to do a whole lot with it. Again, he played during the time of the day when the wind was really gusting, and he still managed to shoot even par. So a lot of golf left, I think, as far as investing at this point. Kevin, we do have LIV Golf coming up, though, in about 4 hours from now that you can invest in pre-tournament if you're interested in that. They're in Hong Kong. It's Friday over there. I took Sergio Garcia at 20-1. I took Anirban Lahiri at 40-1. And then Sam Horsfield at 80-1. So three outrights there for LIV Hong Kong. Again, it starts at 11 p.m. Eastern time.
All right, that is fantastic. Let me just throw this to you quickly, Brady. There are two notable names at the very bottom of this leaderboard, Max Homa, Cam Young. I'm just curious. Those two guys missed the cuts coming in. I don't know. I think we're running up against the break. It looks like those guys' games are kind of way off. That's all stuff that we can circle back with.
They need Brady to stick to TGL, Kev.
Yeah, it seems like that might be the better approach. Appreciate it, Brady. We got Dane Martinez next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live with you here on Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh, I am with Dane Martinez, and it is a Thursday night. Always, always great to have Dane stop by. We're going to get into Lakers-Knicks in just a little bit here, as that is a game that Dane has certainly circled up. But I do want to hit some of these big items in the National Football League, which includes an easy one to me. But I wonder, Dane, if I'm being perhaps too simple in my thought process here. I think any day now, any minute now, Schefter, Rappaport, they can race to it, are going to tell us that Joey Bosa is teaming up with Nick Bosa in San Francisco. Do you have the same read?
I think that's interesting. I haven't even thought about the destinations as of yet, to be quite honest, because here's the thing. I don't know if Bosa is going to be the only guy out there on the market, right? It's such an interesting time of the NFL calendar, right? When everyone's trying to get under the cap for the new league year that starts next week. I mean, those are definitely a connection that can be had. I've heard the Atlanta Falcons are interested. I've heard the Washington Commanders are interested. The Commanders have a ton of money. The Falcons had a piss poor pass rush last year. So, yeah, maybe Bosa wants to team up with his brother, but the almighty dollar still reigns supreme, right? And Bosa on the open market, we'll see what happens. But, yes, I can see the Bosa brothers going together out in the Bay, to be sure.
It just, I don't know, it seems like they would have that desire to play together. If Nick had to move some money around to make the money appear for Joe, I'm sure he'd be happy to do that.
Sure.
But you're right. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of money, though perhaps some people going, "Ooh, hold on. I'm not sure I'm going to give you my wallet. $30 million DK Metcalf on top of a first, on top of a third round pick." Complicate stuff when you start to figure out all that could be required to get DK Metcalf out of Seattle. Do you have a landing spot in mind? How are you seeing this potentially play out?
Yeah, so here's the thing. In terms of landing spots, there are two teams that I find interesting. One would be the Green Bay Packers, who, remember, do not have that quote-unquote number one team. Josh Jacobs even said they want to go out and get a number one. Remember, Watson is down with a knee injury. Romeo Dubs had multiple concussions, which concerns me. Another, in my opinion, you talk about Bosa leaving the Chargers. What about the Chargers pairing with Ladd McConkey? I think that's a nice, interesting pairing. McConkey as a kind of slot in and out of his route kind of guy, and then DK, an alpha on the outside, a red zone target. But ultimately, Kev, I think the asking price is a little bit too much. A first and a third, and then you also have to pay the freight for DK Metcalf. I'm not so sure about that, especially in a market where Deebo Samuel gets just a fifth round pick. Maybe if you talk about Dallas, because listen, he gave a fourth round for Jonathan Mingo, for goodness sake. So maybe Jerry Jones would be then down to pay the freight for DK Metcalf. I think Seattle's going to have to come down, and so far, I've heard about Green Bay and the Chargers as potential fits, potential suitors.
Yeah, I like Green Bay a lot. You know, that market there that we're throwing up, again, it's kind of one spot. You know, it's always here and there about where you can get those. Green Bay's not on it. I think Green Bay is the team. The difference, I would say, between the Packers and the Chargers is I think the Packers are a little bit more desperate. Harbaugh just got there, right?
Right.
I know Jordan Love is young, but, I mean, LaFleur, at some point, again, at some point, I stop becoming crazy and people go, you know what? There's something to it. Matt LaFleur's been skating on by, man. They lose conference titles games. It's all Rodgers' fault. And then they're good with Jordan Love. And he's like, oh, my gosh, this guy is the greatest. Even though they should have beat the Niners in that game, but they weren't supposed to, so it's fine. And then this year they were the hot, trendy pick in the NFC, Dane.
Yep.
They're still trying to cross the 50-yard line against the Birds' defense.
Yeah, and here's the thing, right? Like, don't get me wrong. I like the idea that they have a number of guys, right? Watson, they had Dubs, they had Wicks, they had Reed, they had Kraft as well. But think about it. You know this better than almost anybody, Kev, when it comes to the Birds. When that young quarterback gets that true stud alpha wide receiver, Josh Allen when he got Stephon Diggs, your boy Jalen Hurts when he got A.J. Brown, right? That is a way for a young quarterback to truly level up. And again, Watson's going to miss a ton of time. Romeo Dubs, even with the Guardian cap, had another big-time concussion in the playoffs. I think you get a true kind of dog on the outside that really does level up Jordan Love and the overall offense in Green Bay. So that is a spot. And I know that they were talking about it a couple of months ago. So I know that there is at least some level of interest on the Green Bay side.
Yeah, I, again, fully agree with Danes. I heard someone say, skill-wise, it could be redundant. They don't have a number one wide receiver.
Exactly.
It's not redundant. They need a move like that. The quarterback, you know, carousel, we're kind of waiting for some of these, you know, shoes to drop. I thought Crosby going on the record and petitioning for Rodgers was interesting. 24 hours later, here's face of the franchise money for Crosby, which he has earned. I feel like maybe he'll have a little bit of say. I feel like Rodgers to Vegas has legs now, Dane. What about you?
So it's interesting, right? And listen, you got to put yourself in the mind of two people. One being Aaron Rodgers, right? He wants to go to a place where he can win. Do you think the Raiders? I think the Raiders are the worst team in that division, if you want to know the truth, right? So it may be more attractive than other options like the Giants. But here's the other thing that I think gives me a little cause for pause with the Raiders, Kev. You know who Rodgers also wants to bring in tow with him? Davante Adams. Do you really think Davante Adams wants any part of being back in that building with the Vegas Raiders where he was before? That I'm not so sure. I'm looking at teams that could potentially have Rodgers and Davante Adams to continue the bromance. And just like I told you about a week ago when I thought about Stafford going to Pittsburgh, I still think Pittsburgh is a wild card in all this because they know what their ceiling was with Russ and or Justin Fields. They have a defense and they view themselves as a perennial contender. I think Rodgers and Adams are a package deal. I also think Pittsburgh is a dark horse in that one.
I wouldn't discount Pittsburgh. I think it's fair. And I felt though the other day when Davante got released, I don't remember which big reporter, but it was like, Davante is kind of really interested in playing out West. And it was like, yeah. Rodgers, Giants. And I feel like Davante was like, listen, if we could have both been on the Rams, what a dream. I'm sorry. I'm not doing the cold. I'm not doing it. Right. I'm going to play for the Chargers or the Rams or the Niners. And at that point, Aaron's like, all right, well, then I'm going to Vegas because I know you didn't want to go, but now I'm going since you're not coming with me. You go have fun with Matt. And I'm going to go hang out with Tom Brady. But we'll see. I also feel like the Steelers have no idea that they need a quarterback because they're never connected to anybody. Let's talk some Knicks Lakers with Dane on the other side. We're live with you. It's Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live with you right now on SportsGrid. We've got Dane Martinez here on this Thursday night. We've got Coach James Young right around the corner as well. So, Dane, let's get into Knicks-Lakers, man. It is a big game here, the biggest on this slate, undoubtedly. And the line keeps dropping. I mean, someone somewhere knows something. As the New York Knicks number keeps growing shorter despite seemingly a lot of bets coming in on LeBron, Luka, and the Lakers. Where does your card and your breakdown start for this basketball game?
Yeah, it starts not with the side, Kev, but with the total instead. Okay. And that has also come down a little bit. I saw it at 231, 232. It is now down to, I believe, 230 and a half. And I got to give your boys credit, Kev. The Lakers' defense lately has been phenomenal. I mean, in their last seven games, they've won all seven. They've been giving up an average of 103 points a game. Their opponents haven't even gotten to 102 in six of the seven. I told you, I think LeBron has a little bit more energy and, you know, want to on defense with Luka being ball dominant. The Knicks have also only gotten to 110 in two of their last six games. These are also two of the slower pace teams in the NBA, Kevin. You know, the Knicks are the sixth slowest pace. The Lakers are the tied for the ninth slowest pace. Fewer possessions, less scoring. I go under in this game as my first play.
Yeah, I like the look a lot. I think the way the Lakers have been playing suggests under. I think the Knicks have to come out with a level of fire. If they want to get this West Coast trip going the right way, they play tomorrow against the Clippers. Never easy. Kawhi probably plays in that game. So you're looking at a dog spot, at a dog here. It's not going to be easy. You get Cat back in the lineup. That's likely going to help. Let's go through some of the props that you like in this one, Dane. What's jumping out to you?
Yeah, first of all, for me, give me LeBron over 3.5 turnovers in this one. He averages 4 turnovers a game. I'm sorry, Kev. Not I got to do it to you. But he's had 4 or more in his last 5 games. And Luka's also a little bit limited, a little questionable, right, tonight with that knee. So I don't know how many minutes he plays. Speaking of Luka, I'll go under on his points. I saw it at 29.5. It's down to 28.5. He's only averaged 23 a game with Los Angeles. He's been over in the last 3, but under in 6 of his 10 over the last 10 games. Like I said, maybe limited minutes with the knee. And the Knicks have good on-ball wing kind of defenders, right? Between Hart, between Bridges, between OG. So I think they may want to focus and limit on Luka. And the last one I'll give you here, Kev, I told you about that under a half that you can get. Josh Hart tonight, not to get a 3-pointer. It's at plus 120, my friend, okay? He's averaging 1 a game on the season, has not had a 3 in 5 of his last 6, has only attempted 2 or fewer in 4 of his last 5 games, and the Lakers' 3-point defense is one of the best in the NBA. Opponents against the Lakers are shooting below 35% from beyond the arc. You put it all together, I do not think Hart gets a 3 in this one, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to fade some of your boys in purple and gold. LeBron with the turnovers and under for Luka and his points, Kev.
I think it makes a lot of sense. One, you get Reeves coming back, so that can move, that can kind of shift things around. Also, some of the turnovers from LeBron and Luka, it's very, like, the Lakers are playing well. They're both playing well. Some of the turnover, the Lakers broadcast every game, they're like, here we go with this again. Like, you would think they're making these guys sit through Wizards basketball. They can't believe the turnovers that they're watching on a nightly basis. I'm curious, but Dane, because just because that, you know this, that's a little off the beaten path, right? People usually look points, rebounds, whatever it might be. Yeah. How did you gravitate to that market?
So, to be honest, you know, you look at the props, but then on a lot of these, like, pick 'em platforms where you're trying to go 4 for 4, 5 for 5, yeah, I like trying to correlate the bet, okay? And the biggest one for me is the under. And so I think about how are ways that the game stays under. So I look at under points. I told you about the slower pace, so you could look at under rebounds. Another way that happens, Kev, is with the turnovers. And specifically, I mean, your boy LeBron had one game, I think a week ago, Kev, where he had 11 turnovers in the game, right?
Yeah.
And so, your point also, they go through stretches where they just get a little sloppy, and then they turn it on. So to me, that goes to the turnover market. You can't get it everywhere, but on some of those pick 'em over under sites, you want to put together a 3 for 3 or 4 for 4, add the turnovers, brother man.
And let me tell you, I think it's always good because, so you're maybe DK doesn't have it right now. When the playoffs come around, though, everyone's like, we got to get more markets. So. Sure. It's good to even just kind of take a look, figure out the trends. When does it snap? How long does it run? Those are all really, really good things to keep in mind, and it's why we love having Dane on the show. Dane, appreciate it. Best of luck with the action tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell the coach I said what's up, all right? Have a good one.
certainly will. So tonight, if you're like me and you're watching some Laker Knicks and you're like, come on, we'd like to see a W here. When LeBron throws it out of bounds because Dorian Finney-Smith wasn't looking, like, it's good for Dane. Now let's get back and defend, boys, all right? Let's keep this game under the number. We got Coach up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live with you right here on SportsGrid. Let's take a second. All right. We're going to take a quick second, and then we're going to bring in Coach. We're going to talk tonight's slate, all this. All of a sudden, so the NBA media has been a big discussion, right? The ratings, all these different things. And now the new talking point is not the GOAT debate of LeBron versus Michael mainly, but it's should we even have the GOAT debate? And now people are getting angry about how the truly what is going on. Here, let me try and clue people in as to what I think is going on a little bit. I still think a lot of these places where you're seeing this eye roll headache stuff is they just don't know how to drive an interesting conversation that they are comfortable in around the current game. And I don't even mean like today's NBA. Well, I do a little bit, but on tonight's slate, Lakers-Knicks. We should be... Are the Lakers going to go for eighth? How badly do the Knicks need this game? Will the Knicks winning prove to you anything? Is there an element of the Knicks offense that would present challenges to the Lakers defense that would show these things? But we want to hyper-focus on the individual greatness of guys. Okay, we can do that. Do we think LeBron's going to be first-team All-NBA? We can talk about that, right? Well, what about the Warriors? We want to get into the Warriors and how great they are. Let's get into it. Is it Jimmy who turned this thing around? Is it Steph who turned it around? Is it a coincidence? Is Steph shooting here to stay? We don't need to do why Steph isn't the GOAT. That is, we know he's not. That's lunacy. We're good. Hey, they're tonight going for, here's an interesting one. Golden State playing a lot of bad teams. A lot of bad teams. A lot of their best wins, Knicks missing Cat. Bucks missing Giannis. When do we test the Warriors? Let's have that conversation. Not, I'm going to retire the GOAT debate and then debate Twitch streamers the next day. Or then next year I'll work there, but those guys are clowns. Clowns all around, man. Clowns all around. Let's lock in here. Let's lock in with Coach James Young. JY, it's great to have you on a Thursday night. Let's look at that 7:30 NBA slate. Where's your head at? Hawks, Pacers, Celtics, Sixers, Nets, Warriors.
Yeah, I'm looking squarely at the Pacers on the money line at Atlanta. Big spot for them. 35-25, played much better basketball as of late. You know, they're starting to, and when you look at the East, you know, they're like, they could have home court advantage first round. Like, they're tied with Milwaukee. And, you know, the Knicks, you know, listen, this whole thing with Kat, and it looks like his fiance or whatever may have cancer. You don't know if he's going to have to step away from this team for a little bit. And the Knicks are in the beginning of a 5-game West Coast trip where things could get hairy, Kevin, really, really fast. If I'm not mistaken, it's back-to-back LA-LA. To start the trip. So this is a big game for the Pacers. I like the Pacers on the money line to win tonight in Atlanta.
All right, so some love there for Indiana. Let me say this, JY. Again, let's have interesting conversations. If you were to make the most generous list of NBA title contenders, I would ask you to put the Indiana Pacers on it. Now, maybe that's a bridge too far, but they were in the conference finals last year. And quietly, JY, Halliburton's back. I'm sure you've noticed this. Hallie had an atrocious start to the year. 2025 Tyrese Halliburton? I mean, his offensive rating is like a 139.
Yeah, he's playing phenomenal basketball. And if you like, just look at the last, five games. It could be more than that. Last six games, yeah. He's had at least 10 assists every game, right? Mm-hmm. And he's scored pretty much 19 per game, right? 19, at least 19. And a couple of big, big performances. You know, so when you think about title contenders, and if let's be generous, okay? Knicks, they got to get their you-know-what together.
Yep.
Because if you put Indiana, you got to put New York on it.
I agree,
but I'm not putting Milwaukee on it. I think honestly that 4-5 matchup is so bad for that team because number one, right. Kev, they're not going to adjust, and then Indiana is going to run them out the building.
Well, so I would put Milwaukee. So here's the thing: I don't think Milwaukee's going to win the title. They have Giannis. It's a generous list. But I think we've seen the Pacers be great in that matchup against the Bucks, which is important, right? And the Cavs, look, they're going to be considerable favorites against the Pacers. Here's what I'm going to say to people. Since January 1st, with Tyrese Halliburton in the lineup, the Pacers are 19-6. He's averaging 20 points and 9 assists on 52-46-88 shooting splits. That's the guy that I bought into preseason. And I think that's noteworthy when a team is playing that well.
And sorry to interrupt. I also would note, with the fact that they're tied in the division, Indiana's got the ninth easiest schedule the rest of the way.
There you go.
Milwaukee's got the fourth toughest. So could be 4 or 5.
It's a great point.
The other way. So
it's a great point.
Let's not get it twisted. Indiana, and I think people, when they talk about the great coaches, right?
Yeah.
Not enough people put Rick Carlisle there. Like, not enough people give this guy respect for what he's done for the totality of his career. If you're asking me 4 or 5, who's winning that matchup, I don't care if it's in Milwaukee or it's in Indy. I like the Pacers in a 7-game series because the better coach is in Indiana.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Talk to me, JY. Anything in Golden State, Brooklyn catch your eye? I'm trying to get involved with Jimmy Butler's rebounds plus assists. I'm seeing 10.5 at a plus price. Nice bounce back spot.
It should be a nice bounce back spot. Listen, this is a stay away for me. I mean, you made a good point about Golden State. Like, they're really ganging up on bad teams. And I'm not, yes. The Knicks game, the Knicks were out of sorts. They couldn't make a three. By the way, if the Knicks are going to get better, Josh Hart's going to shoot the ball better from three. But they're really beating up bottom feeders, right? Mm-hmm. So let's see. And for a team like Brooklyn, I mean, they should be just losing. I mean, y'all done messed this up already. Y'all should just start losing just lose. Lose every game, try to get Cooper Flagg. End the discussion.
Well, look, so I'm in a mood, I guess. Here's a conversation that none of these clowns can have. You want to defend Brooklyn's tank. The way to defend it is by being aware of who the Boozer twins are, right? Okay, being aware, really Cam Boozer, okay, AJ Dibonsa, and Darren Peterson. To give people an idea, next year's class has 3 guys that would push Cooper Flagg for first overall. Just to give people, now look, I'm sure Brooklyn wishes they tank, they didn't sell everybody off. Don't worry, the tank is here. And it's called D'Lo, Cam Thomas backcourt. That 1-2 punch got out there, and all of a sudden, the San Antonio offense figured it out, J.Y. And an offense that was struggling to crack 100 against the Pelicans a week ago went out there and scored 127 because you had D'Lo and Cam Thomas in the same backcourt.
It's an explosive backcourt, but damn it, just lose. Just lose. Simply put, I think they got Milwaukee's pick, they got the Knicks' pick, and then what, their own pick? I think they have 3 first-round picks. Just lose, damn it. Just lose.
What we're going to do after this break is we're going to talk Iowa-Michigan State, some of the college basketball stuff from the week, but a little bit to that weekend as well, since we have Coach with us here on this Thursday night. Is Sparty on upset alert? We'll talk about that next. It's Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Game Time Decisions. JY, I want to ask you about Michigan State, Iowa, if you have any picks in this game, and then we're going to get into some of the ramifications, potentially, of this basketball game. Anything for you with Sparty as a 6.5-point road favorite? Total keeps climbing. This thing I'm seeing now, 156.5.
Yeah, this is a big spot here. And folks, I don't know if this could be Fran McCaffrey's last game. If you peel back, right, I think Michigan State's like 6-0 against the spread. Iowa's 0-6 against the spread, right? So the one fear you have is, here we go, last game at home for Iowa. Maybe Fran McCaffrey's on his way out. If you're Sparty right now and you're seeing all the stuff that's going on with the SEC, Kevin, can you sneak yourself into a 1 seed? Now, I know they're only, 14-8 against quad 1, quad 2s, but some of these teams, I'm sorry, 14-5, quad 1, quad 2. So, Kevin, they got the second most quad one wins in the nation. They can't slip up here. Because of that, give me Michigan State minus the points on the road.
All right, so we got JY going with Michigan State there. I'm going to look at the under in this game, and I'm going to keep letting this thing tick, see if we can make sure we get the absolute peak of the market right now, some 155.5 out there. I like under in this game. JY, let's talk a little bit about Michigan State, because all of a sudden now, And maybe the one seeds also might be Oak. Let me start there. Auburn, Duke, Houston, we agree are one seeds, right? We agree?
We do.
Okay.
We agree.
Did Florida clinch the fourth one seed by beating Alabama, or is that last spot still open in your eyes?
I think it's open. Because if you think about geographically, Duke East, Auburn South, Houston West, Michigan State Midwest. I mean, it kind of lines up geographically that way. And yes, we know that Florida is, 13-4 quad one, quad two. Michigan State is 15-5. I mean, yeah. So they have the second most and the third most. I think Houston's ahead of them. I think Houston's got 17 quad one wins. But part of that has to do with who you play with. So I think Michigan's I play against. So I do like Michigan State possibly as a one seed. And there's a sneaky good, and maybe I'm crazy, Kevin. I saw on FanDuel, and maybe it was a little while ago, odds to get the number one overall seed. And they had, if I'm not mistaken, they had Auburn, I want to see, at -3,500.
Oh, Duke, I don't agree with that.
11-1. Kevin, and yeah. Duke's 11-1. If Alabama picks off Auburn this weekend, which could happen, and they don't win the SEC, and Duke rules everyone, you could be sitting at Duke 11-1 to get the overall number one seed. That's a value play. You don't have to put a ton of money on it. I'm putting a couple of bucks on it tonight.
Yeah, JY, I agree with you.
I'm stunned.
Like, it's a great find by Coach. And again, I want to say this. I bring these numbers up because they are part of the equation. I don't care if you agree with them, and I'm not telling you that I do. Number one in the net is now Duke. Number one in BPI is now Duke. I mentioned what KenPom thinks of Duke. They think they're the greatest college basketball team in history. I'm kidding.
And they're smoking everybody. If they go into UNC on Saturday, Kevin, and beat them by 20, especially with the way UNC is playing, you can't tell me that 11-1 isn't good odds. Everybody should be hammering this right now. And Kevin, I looked this morning, I looked this afternoon. It hasn't moved all day.
Yeah, I'm going to do some. Let me say this to Coach's point, though. Like, I think if you bet this, I think you're making a great bet. I'm not sure they need to lose. Like, I'm not sure that Auburn needs to lose. Okay, to Bama. But again, Auburn is not going to be like -600 to win the SEC tournament. People understand that, right?
They can lose in the quarters. They can lose in the semis. Like, Duke should, I don't even know what the odds are for Duke to win the ACC tournament. It should be like -400. Like, they're going to roll everybody. I can sit there and say, all right, ready? Can Tennessee beat Auburn? Yes. Can Alabama beat them? Yes. Can I can keep going. Can Florida beat them? Yes. Can A&M beat them? Oh, they just beat them. I just named four teams. You want to keep going? We can keep going.
Yeah.
They can lose to four or five teams. Duke literally should beat everybody by at least 15 the rest of the way.
I got to tell you, man. Coach has got my head spinning right now because I didn't see that until he just mentioned it. And I feel like we're seeing it's just something I don't agree with. Pricing-wise, Duke also, it has to matter a little bit that they did beat Auburn, no? That has to matter, right?
And that's the part, like, I'm feeling, I'm like, they're going to base this on the fact that Duke only is going to have 11 quad one, quad two wins. That's what it's based off, Kevin, because Auburn's got 21, right?
Which is awesome.
They both got three losses, which is awesome. It's unbelievable. But if, I'm going to say this, and folks, let me say this. I hate Duke. I'm friends with King Rice. I hate Duke with all my glory. I hate Christian Laettner times 5,000. But you can't tell me right now at 11-1, you should not be taking this.
And I'm going to make this point, and then we're going to hit a break, and I'm very excited we did this. And we're going to then kind of close it out with some Lakers, Knicks for people. One of the reasons that Michigan State doesn't feel like they can get to the one line in the net, 11. BPI, 12. You can disagree with that. I have no problem. But that's what the numbers are. Auburn isn't even second in BPI right now. It's Houston. So I think, again, I think Coach is onto something here. And it's certainly something I'm going to be keeping my eye on as well. Let's button it up here. It is Game Time Decisions on this Thursday night. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid. Game Time Decisions on a Thursday night. In-game live is next. I am joined by Coach James Young. We've talked Iowa, Michigan State, J.Y. rolling with the Spartans. I'm playing under, played it at 155.5, minus 110. NBA tonight, few games going. Early lead for Brooklyn on Golden State. Slow start, relatively speaking, for Pacers Hawks. Might not hate a buy-in there on a dropping total, seeing 241.5. But, J.Y., it's Lakers-Knicks tonight, so talk to me. What do you like? What do you trust here in this game?
I ain't trusting a whole lot of Knicks, I'll tell you that much. I mean, they're struggling. And I, you know, I'm trying to figure, like, all right, who do I go to in regards to, like, who would I jump on? And, you know, to me, the guy, if I'm looking at, that needs to step up for the Knicks, honestly, is Josh Hart. If you watch the game closely, Kev, if you watch the team closely against Golden State, they were literally like, yo, shoot the ball. Shoot the ball. You're good. Shoot the ball. So I am looking at Josh Hart to give me some kind of bounce back performance because I think the Lakers are going to say, all right, go ahead. Now, his threes over under right now is maybe it's not a great number. I'm not seeing it. I don't know where it's on FanDuel, but I would look at Josh Hart ready. 2+ made threes tonight. I think he goes out west, former Laker, hits a couple of shots.
It's his birthday.
They're going to let him shoot. Hey, you know, I think Josh Hart, 2+ made threes right now. I'm taking a look at it. Josh Hart, 2+ made threes is plus 240. I'm taking it tonight.
All right, so J.Y. going to look for some threes there. Let me ask you this, Coach. With the way the Lakers are rolling, right? Austin Reeves back into the lineup. Now, Reeves had been playing, you know, obviously for a ton, but they've, you know, been without him for basically three games now. Any rust, any shakiness early in the game? What would you expect there from Reeves and kind of the Lakers putting him back into the lineup?
I expect him to be catch and shoot. I mean, right now, 3+ made threes is minus 113. And the reason why you would look at Austin Reeves is putting my coaching hat on. All right. OG takes LeBron, right? We agree. Bridges takes Luka. That leaves Reeves with Brunson. And they may send sometimes to get the ball out of guys' hands. I think Austin Reeves 3+ made threes is minus 113 is the way to look at it. Because I think if you're the Knicks and this guy is rusty, make him beat us. That's the way I would. If I'm Tibbs, I ain't letting LeBron beat me. I ain't letting Luka beat me. It's got to be Austin Reeves. And he's had the ball in his hands enough. Austin Reeves, 3+ made threes, minus 113.
Awesome there. Look for Austin Reeves. I shouldn't even bring this up, but I can't help myself. That's bad on me. But there's a clip that you're going to see of Chuck talking about the other network, right? And he was then going, he was being very specific about Big Perk. And now Big Perk is tweeting
Uh-oh.
And somehow, here's the thing, man. Somehow, the lead NBA story will be, can Kendrick Perkins beat up Charles Barkley, and not the takeaways from the Lakers and the Knicks? And people wonder why LeBron complained about NBA media. And I'm going to just, because now I'm getting angry. Yeah,
I got an idea. Listen, get them two dudes off the set and put me and K-Dub on the set. If you put the two of us, you want real basketball knowledge with gambling focus? Good looking. I mean, Kevin thought you were gonna be good looking. I gotta shave. I didn't too much. Good looking. We like ebony and ivory living together in perfect harmony. Me and K-Dub, let's get it.
I feel like coaches signed me up for a 2-on-2 that I don't even want to be in. All I know is Brooklyn is smoking the Warriors, and it looks like this potential fraud is going to get away with it because everyone will be talking about a whole bunch of nonsense. I will see you all Saturday. Betting Above the Rim, college basketball today. Keep it right here on Sports Grid. In-game live is next.